Welcome to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, covering car culture and the automotive world with Shane Osborne, Brady Wright, and Steve, the producer, Johan. Let's see what's up this week.
And here's what's happening Tuesday, October 8th, 2019. Brady Wright, Shane Osborne, Steve, the producer, Johan, joining billions and billions of other listeners as we all together in unison sing Little Bunny Foo Foo on this 106 episodes, and we've already lost our minds. This is Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. As you already know, thank you for coming with us today on our silly journey that we're going to play. We got a whole bunch of stuff happening in the automotive news segment that we call Back to the Blacktop. Steve, what do you got?
Well, if you haven't been following the news, we're in the fourth week of the UAW strikes.
Yes.
And it was very interesting. On the way to work this morning, I heard an interview, well, a slight interview before I shut the car off, of one of the representatives of the UAW. And as we all know, GM was going down the toilet. And the American public, we all heard about the taxpayer paying, you know, the government bailing them out and all that kind of stuff.
They did.
But what we didn't hear a lot about, which I really did not know, is UAW took a humongous amount of concessions, reduced their payouts. They even took over all the medical benefits for all the employees that under this.
Right.
And they were told, hey, when things get back up and running again and we're profitable, we'll renegotiate and get things backed up. Well,
they believed the government.
No, they believed GM brass.
Well, but GM brass was doing what the government told them to do.
But now it's been 3 years. They've been showing record profits in the black every year, and that's why they're striking. They're like, hey.
Yep.
And so I'm behind the UAW because, you know what, when you give up something to keep a company going, they need to come back and say, thanks, guys.
Well,
and gals.
Do what you said you were going to do.
Exactly.
Keep your promises.
Stick with your promise.
It's that simple.
Then I came across this interesting article about tires. Now, you guys probably like this. There are billions of used tires around the world just sitting in landfills, sitting in swamps, sitting in somebody's backyard, stuffed in the back of whatever.
Made into planters that are the ugliest things in the entire universe.
Put them for tomato plants in your garden so you get...
I have one in my garden.
Well, come on. I got me a tire planter.
Yes,
you do.
Well, I've seen them when they tip them upside right and then they paint them different colors. You can use them for a little ring around.
That's a great look.
Bring the microphone a little closer there.
That's a terrific look.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Triangles cut into it.
I do. I have a certain amount of respect for the guys
who
cut them up and make like alligators and rhinoceroses out of them. You know, you can make statues. That's all fine. It's still a bunch of cut up tires.
We had a swing in the back, and he built the swing out of pipes and stuff. And
yes.
He cut the tire, and that worked great.
Well, they last forever. But
And it was like a little.
And they taste kind of interesting, too.
They stink.
They do.
Well, anyway, what they have discovered is down in San Francisco estuary, they've been doing some studies. And according to researchers, they have discovered that the tires themselves have plastic inside them and that the compound wears off, lands in the ground, gets blown off, gets into the estuaries.
Right.
And there's trillions of... who knows, pounds of this stuff in all the water out there.
Well, sure.
And
it degrades eventually.
It degrades eventually. But it's kind of interesting. It's like, what do you do? And there are some places that are shredding them, reusing them for, like, track. And then they remember, I don't know if you were around when they had the little fear that the repurposed tires, the shredded for high school tracks, that there might be some cancer kind of related issues.
Mm, yeah.
So, anyway, that is something. If somebody comes up with a great invention to reuse tires,
well, they have actually. There's one of the best uses for old recycled tires I've ever seen. There are companies and several machines made in India. They take old tires, they grind them up, and they add a couple of things, and they make it into asphalt road.
There you go, asphalt.
And it's absolute. Well, it's not really, but I mean, it looks like asphalt.
No,
but it wears better. It's not weather sensitive. It isn't temperature sensitive. It actually produces a pretty good road surface, and it's cheap because tires, you know. And they've been doing it over there for a long time. They've exported it to some other countries. I'm a big fan of that stuff. And I'm thinking, now, why can't we do that here? Because we have a billion tires, you know?
Okay, you're exactly right. Because I did see a little side note on the article that India is using this to create. You're exactly right.
Yeah, road surface. That's
great
stuff. I
suspect somebody who has money to be made or lost is saying, don't allow that to come here to the United States. It's always a lot of money.
Of course. No, there's an EPA component to the thing. Somebody's going to complain about it. But
you put our tires in the road a different way here.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's right.
Exactly. Well, big news for vet lovers. As we all know, the brand new version is coming out, the Stingray.
Oh, I thought you were talking about veterinarians.
Oh.
I like my veterinarian. And veterans. I like veterans, too.
I just spent almost $400 at the vet for my two kitties, so we won't go there.
Yeah.
I put it off as long as I could, many shots. Anyhow, and they're doing really good, by the way. But what makes this so unique is that this time around, they're adding a convertible, but it's not a convertible as in a cloth top. It is a folding hardtop version. First time around.
Ah, they're going Sunliner.
Yep. And the decision to go with a folding hardtop was not entirely unexpected due to the styling of the new vet.
Sure. Well, and besides, nothing goes in the trunk of a Corvette anyway.
No.
You're not, you know, why not? Put
can't
a top
fit
in
a body, it's useless.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I think it's going to be, it's cool. One of these days we'll have to get to a dealership, and when I've got my, one of our channels launched, we'll go out and capture Brady driving it, and we'll post it for everybody.
I don't want you to use the word capture in the same sentence as me driving. It's not. It doesn't convey a good image.
Yeah, we'll use a big net like a dog catcher.
No, I'm thinking blue lights, and that's not really the way. That's not where I'm going at all.
I know some place we could take it out really late at night.
Yeah, well, that yeah, that's the other thing.
Will they give it 24 hours? Can we take it?
I'm sure. Here's your $65,000 car. Come back tomorrow.
Yes.
Sure thing.
Well, we got this international show. You might want to get some publicity on there.
Yeah, right. They might.
Well, in a bid to reduce costs and make more money for shareholders, Volvo Cars is combining its engine development and manufacturing operations with those in its China-based parent, Geely, resulting in a standalone division to produce internal combustion and hybrid engines. The new entity will produce engines for Volvo as well as Geely, Lotus, Link, and Proton. Volvo's 3,000 employees will be merged with Geely's 5,000 employees to make a total of 8,000. And the good news, according to the CEO, is they will not be laying anybody off. So we will see.
Well, they always say that.
We will see if this is true.
No layoffs, no changes, except for you there, Bob.
It could be the GM thing all over again here.
Man.
But anyway, they currently
I hope it does work out, because Volvo's an honorable brand, and it's been around for a long time, and they make a pretty good car.
Yeah.
So it would be sad if something went sideways on that deal. I wish them luck.
I do, too. And then we do have a couple recall notices. First up is Tesla Incorporated is facing...
He managed to say Tesla. Did you get
yes.
that?
Okay. But I put Incorporated after.
All right, fine.
Is facing charges that it should have issued a recall on 2,000 vehicles after a software upgrade glitch reduced the driving range of its vehicles and made them more susceptible to non-crash fires. So we're going to see... Yep.
So you mean... It's bad enough that if you crash one, the batteries catch on fire. But now there's non-crash, so they just spontaneously combust? Is that what we're saying?
Yes. Software upgrade reduced the driving range of the vehicles. That's number one.
Yeah.
So you're not getting as many mileage off the charge.
Well, close to home.
Yes.
Right, right.
And made them more... Well, you know, they say the most accidents happen, so maybe most fires with a Tesla happens close to home.
In the garage. I'm sorry, but
to the big power
panel.
We're
not meaning to make fun of such a marvelous technological advance in automotive history. I think it's a wonderful thing, but man, you know, there's a reason why we beat Steve up early in the show, because he was constantly talking about
I know
about Tesla. It's like, you know, it'd be nice not to have Tesla news for a week, but it's just an ongoing thing.
Well. With a recall, that's it. But I'm not saying anything else. I skip over a lot.
It's all right.
Because we know the CEO likes to make the headlines by doing all sorts of quirky things.
He's sending people to Mars. What's wrong with the guy?
Yeah. What a scam.
Oh, man.
It's supposed to be a hotel open in 2020.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I missed that part. What?
A hotel. You heard me right.
A hotel on Mars.
I'm the moon.
I'm almost afraid to say thanks for tuning in, but I'm going to.
We got a
chat coming up with Dave Overton. He's the guy from Corvette Alley. That's what the vet reference was earlier. All of that and more on Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
Okay, forest animals, kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow, have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. River, how's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man.
I love it. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. Okay. Squirrel.
The forest has been preparing just for you. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Did you hear the news? Cartoons Magazine is back. Yep, those car-crazy comics from the past have returned in an all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine filled with one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available directly through the Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com.
This is Robert Durf with the Porsche Club of America Driver Skills Program. Thank you for listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. And just want to remind everybody that it's no fun unless it smells a little bit like burnt oil and burnt rubber.
Hey, car enthusiast, are you in need of a restoration and fabrication shop that turns old steel into rolling works of art? Then look no further than E-Company Customs Hot Rods and Restorations. E-Company Customs, that's Customs with a K, is the Northwest's fastest growing restoration and fabrication shop, providing frame-off restoration, custom mods, upholstery, rust repair, hand-done metalwork, motor work, body and paint, and a whole lot more. To book an appointment, visit them at ecompanycustoms.com or stop by their shop at 15002 Suite A, Highway 99, Linwood, Washington. E-Company Customs, providing a stress-free experience to both new and returning customers.
My mind's out of gear, and my heart's in overdrive. I've everything to fear. I ain't never been more alive.
Welcome back to Horsepower Chrome and Rust. This is the first half of the Windshield View. And this week we're going to be talking with a guy that all Corvette owners should know. Welcome Dave Overton from Corvette Alley.
Hey, Dave, how are you?
Good. Good.
Good. So as we get started here, tell us about Corvette Alley. You are in the beautiful Pacific Northwest town of Anacortes. So tell us about that.
Anacortes? Well, our family goes back here to the 1890s. But yeah. Born and raised here. My dad was a 40-year mechanic, and I've got 54 years doing the same thing.
So how did you get started in the mechanic and fabbing business?
Well, when I was 12, I had a radio repair shop, and I gave that up when I was 13 and started working on cars. So it kind of went from there. Went through high school, went to tech school, and then kept working.
Nice. And I mean, I know you do other things besides Corvettes, but obviously with a name like Corvette Alley, it's probably a specialty. How did you come to focus on that?
Well, I got my first Corvette when I was 18, right out of high school, which you probably wouldn't be able to do that nowadays.
Well, maybe
alone,
not.
Let alone get insurance.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But anyway, I've had 8 Corvettes over the years. The longest one I had was 25 years, which I sold to finish the hot rod that I have.
Okay. Well, let's talk about your cars. What was the first one you got?
Yeah, talk about the first Corvette.
It was a 57.
Okay.
My favorite.
It was an old track car out of New Mexico.
Right.
And people don't realize that those old cars, when it rains outside, there's more water inside.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they were about the look, not about the seals. Yeah.
Yeah, and then the second one, I had that a year, and got a 61, drove it on the street for a year, and then turned it into a degas car, which I drove on the street also.
Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah.
Now, did you take it out racing, Dave?
Back in the 60s, it was always racing, but it was mostly on the street.
Oh, okay.
Those were the non-sanctioned
times were
races.
Times were different back then.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, I was there. I remember a lot of that stuff.
Well, you're up in Anacortes, so...
And just so for folks who are out of the area, Anacortes is a real nice town on the Straits of Juan de Fuca. It's sort of in Puget Sound, the north end of Puget Sound. And it's a beautiful place on the water, but it's also accessible from land, depending on which way you go. And it's kind of a haven for motor stuff, because there's a huge motorcycle rally up there every year. And then, you know, there's a lot of people up there who have, it's either horsepower or horse acres, one of the two up
right
there outside Anacortes. So,
well, it's a gateway to the San Juan Islands.
Yeah, it is.
And there
yeah,
are,
you take the ferry out of here, you got right three bridges to get here.
That's right.
That's right. Yeah. And people who know anything, there's a lot of very famous people who have homes on the various San Juan Islands,
oh,
because
right, yep,
they can fly in on a little plane. And it is little heaven.
Yeah, it's a beautiful area.
Sure.
And so Dave, when you did go racing, was there any specific streets, or did you go off onto some of the side roads to do that?
We'd usually go out in the valley. You'd go from Anacortes, you'd go usually over to Mount Vernon or Burlington area, and area like that. They were out in the farmland where nobody was around to get you.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I grew up in Ferndale, and we had the same kind of farmland. You could go literally 5, 6, 8 miles with straight away, and there would be nobody out there. And it was,
yeah.
Matter of fact, when they put the new, they paved a new brand new road into Atlantic Richfield Company. They had a refinery out there, and boy, I'm telling you, that was the best road. 5 miles of straight, beautiful,
sure,
brand new pavement. So my kids, yeah, don't have that opportunity these days, which is probably a good thing. So,
yeah,
so Dave, yeah, we were talking. I Brady, you had a question.
Oh, I was just going to say, your love of Corvettes started a while back, but at some point or another, mm-hmm, you started Corvette Alley, and I'm kind of interested in how that came about, because clearly you've been working on cars for a while. But what was the genesis,
yeah,
of the actual shop itself?
Well, I was working up the street, and the guy I worked for didn't want anything to do with performance cars or Corvettes, so I just built a 1,200 square foot shop at home, and it was just going to be a ego hobby shop, and I had all the equipment in it. And one day I decided that I just gave him 2 week notice, and then came home and told my wife.
That's usually the reverse of how
she wasn't.
Yeah, well, I'm sure it's funny now. I'm sure it probably wasn't funny then.
That was 26 years ago.
Wow. So you just took the jump, yeah, and decided to go for it. So tell me about some of your first customers. Who came, and what did they want, and what kind of stuff did you start out doing the most of?
One of my first customers was actually a deep-sea diver from Bellingham. He brought down a 64 Corvette that needed all the rear suspension and control arms rebuilt. I do a lot of that. A lot of people don't know how to set those things up. And we do a lot of that on the C2s and the C3s. And actually, we're set up to where a lot of people bring the components in, and we rebuild them right here.
Ah. So now when you first got started, you didn't have all of that gear. But obviously...
Yeah, I did.
Oh, did you? You were all set to do that from the get-go, huh?
Yeah. I had been buying equipment for 10 years and
I
put
see.
It in storage.
Okay. Well, that's smart. That would be,
yeah,
the way you'd do it if somebody said, what's the best way to do it?
Yeah, it's real hard to go in nowadays and open up a brand new business between the equipment and, the overhead and everything else.
Oh, sure.
For a person to go into business the first place, you're not gonna eat anything for a year.
Yeah, no kidding. And you're going to be specializing in brake, yeah, jobs and stuff, because that's where the quick money is. Man, that's great. So,
well, we do normal cars too, but we, we specialize in Corvettes, and then
what do you mean normal car? What are you saying, Dave?
Years, we branched out and work on the cars that I've worked on in the 60s and the 70s, which are now older cars. You know,
sure,
we work on I've worked on Javelins, AMXs, Transams, older Chev pickups, Corvettes, you name it, we work on it.
Now, do you do, in addition to, mechanical stuff and rebuilding, and do you fabricate, do you custom build? I mean, what's the breadth of your services, if you will?
Yeah, a lot of the Corvettes, of course, everything, when we started out in this business, nothing was really available. You had to make everything. Nowadays, it's like a guy picks up a catalog and orders what he wants. So what we do now a lot of times is put a lot of suspension packages on. We go to a coilover, four-wheel disc. We go back over a lot of the jobs that people have attempted to do. and straighten those out. But we do a lot of chassis changes and suspension, brakes, electrical. We completely rewire cars. We try not to do computer stuff, but we try to, you know, most of the cars we get have been, a lot of them have been sitting 30, 40 years, and we just have to bring them back to where it's safe and reliable.
So you like that whole resto thing, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, we've done 461 Corvettes that have complete different suspension, brakes, motors, transmission, wiring, and basically they just bought a body and redid everything else.
Well, sometimes that might be the easiest thing. I mean, they're great cars and everything, but there were a lot of interesting engineering ideas in some of those early Corvettes. I mean, the Chevy had an idea, but it was a heavy, rough riding car, in spite of the fact that it looked pretty swoopy. And I've heard a ton of people talk about suspension.
The same thing as a 49 Chevrolet.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, not exactly a sports car, except, you know, according to Jim's publicity.
No.
So now,
they did that till 62, and then it got a little smarter.
Yeah.
So now, when you do let's say you, do you do a complete body off? Do you go and buy a, frame and everything and all complete suspension?
It depends on what the customer wants to do and what they want to spend. You know,
sure.
There's a lot of frame manufacturers out there with different suspension packages. You know, you can go C4 stuff, C5, C6, whatever. You know, you can order everything ready to drop on, or you can get it bare and then go from there, or you can get kits that bolt on the existing.
Well, hang
frame on,
Dave. I hate to do this, but we're going to break in. We got our music coming in right there. And
So stay right here for more Corvette Alley and another story from the old car notebook right after these messages on Horsepower Group and Rust.
All right.
You're into cars, you love a good time, and you'd rather build it than buy it. You might just love the Rat Bastards. The Rat Bastards Car Club is a family-oriented, non-profit organization. We believe in 1969 and older, in the rough is enough, real steel and iron, old-school, traditional hot rods and rat rods. We get together, have fun, help each other, and love to drive them. Your build is our build, because that's the way car clubs are supposed to be. The Rat Bastards are a new class of old school, and our signature event is the Infestation every July. Find us at a cruise in all over the Puget Sound and on the Rat Bastards Car Club page on Facebook.
More Horsepower Chrome and Rust after these messages.
Attention men under the age of 35. You know what really impresses the ladies? When a guy has a few drinks and later gets pulled over for buzz driving. That could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Oh, I know. You drive more carefully when you're buzzed. You've proven that hundreds of times. A woman admires that kind of confidence. And you've practiced how to speak if a cop does pull you over. Slowly, clearly, and politely, like, "Good evening, officer." And what woman doesn't find it adorable that you call it buzzed even though the law calls it drunk? You could kiss $10,000 goodbye, along with any chance of having a girlfriend. Buzzed, busted, and broke. Because buzz driving is drunk driving.
Hello, this is Zach with Cascade Campers. You're listening to Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
I'm jumping in with my clothes off!
Most party fouls are pretty dumb, but if you decide to drink and drive underage, you could lose your license and your freedom. Learn more at ultimatepartyfoul.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Back in Vehicle City. Back with the second half of Windshield View. And before the break, we were talking with Dave Overton, and we were talking about front ends and chassis and that type of thing. And Dave, I think you were saying that you can take, the newer models and apply it to the older models?
Yeah, that's what they do. They take the A-frames, the steering, all the control arms, suspension, stuff like that. And with the newer frames, you can bolt that stuff right on. It like I say, it just depends on what you want to spend and what you want to go for.
Yeah, the wallet has a tendency to determine what you're going to do.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, entirely. And then on a lot of the street rod stuff we do, Most of that stuff's all out of catalogs unless we're doing special bracketry or something like that. But we work on a lot of different cars. We did a complete 47 Plymouth for a guy, and then we turn around and did a Studebaker Advante. So, you know, we just never know what we're going to be working on from day to day. Right now we have a 61 Corvette in here, a 67 Firebird, and a 37 Ford pickup, and a 66 Corvette. So,
nice.
You know, we've got kind of a full house.
Well, one of our friends of the show is a gentleman by the name of Randy Koch, and Randy has a 67 Corvette with Buick Riviera front headlights and kind of
I'm
a custom.
Familiar with the car?
I'm
yeah.
sure you are. And there's a lot of things that that people do with Corvettes that some of them are really really cool, and that's an excellent job, that particular car. But I've also seen some things that kind of make me cringe, you know, and it's not, as a mechanic, as a fabricator, it's not probably up to you. I mean, they say, well, you know, this is what I want, and here's my wallet, so you do it. Mm-hmm. But it stimulated, mm-hmm. I was telling somebody, we're going to have you on the show just earlier today, and this guy is a Corvette fan, and he said, you got to ask him. He said, because we've all seen, you know, restored Corvettes, we've seen customs, we've seen gassers, we've seen all of those, you know, things, drag cars and all that stuff. Has anybody mm-hmm. ever made a Corvette lowrider? And I said, I don't know, but if anybody would know, I think this guy's probably. Did anybody ever ask you to do a lowrider Corvette?
Well, they're pretty low to start with, but
yeah.
we've lowered them to the point where you have to get a block of wood to get them under the hoist. but there is a couple outfits that make four-door, and there's been limo versions of earlier Corvettes.
Oh, yeah. Well, you see those cut up. And when you do that, I mean, you just extend the chassis, right? I mean, you cut the frame and lengthen it out, and then just add a section.
Yeah, they take a section out in the middle and just add it in and then lengthen the bodies.
So do you use another set of Corvette doors or something from something else?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That'd be long.
Have to rebuild the doors.
Because those are long doors. Dang. Yeah.
So, Dave, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about your fabrication skills and on your business card that you handed me. Sure. And we talked to you on a video that I interviewed that will be up soon on a channel that'll be launched. You spent, I think you said, 900 hours of time building this thing, and so you have the capability.
3,600 hours.
3,600 hours of all.
It took 5.5 years.
And what'd that car start out as, Dave?
It's a 30 Chevrolet truck, but I started with the radiator shell on the cowl.
Right.
And completely built the body out of 124 wall tubing. It's a complete built roll cage, and then we hand rolled the body panels and welded them onto the body. It has suicide doors, electric windows. It has air ride. It's quite different.
That's cool. I'm taking a picture of it.
Magazines.
I'm taking a picture of it. We're going to put it up on the website so people can see what it is. It's really a nice piece of work, and of course, coincidentally, that
well,
also
and
all your information on it as well.
I stood next to it, and it's just seamless. I mean, it is so beautifully done. It looks like it came right out of the factory. You know, I know, Shane, you work with a lot of this kind of sheet metal, and you would really appreciate that kind of work. And
it's an art form.
It is. When you see these kind of things, that is a piece of artwork. Do you get any chance?
It's driven. It's driven 4 or 5 days a week. I've been as far south as Bakersfield and Paso Robles. I've been up through Reno, Tahoe, been to Idaho, up in Canada, and I pull a trailer with it.
Wow.
Yeah, I see the hitch on the back there, and it that scenery that you got on the card, that does not look like any place in Washington State.
That's at the refinery out on Marsh's Point with the sun on the...
It's just a great picture.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah. You got it perfect.
The car is actually black, but the sun sitting on it turned it gold.
Yeah, it's a great piece of lighting.
So, how often do you get a chance to do something like that for a client?
Every once in a while, I get one. I had a guy bring me an 80 Corvette, which is not the most popular year for redoing, but he bought me an empty body with fresh paint, and we had 600 hours in the car to build the car that he wanted, his dream car.
Right. You know, Shane, that's kind of what you guys do up at E-Company.
Kind of, that's exactly what we do.
So that leads me to another question. You guys are both into the fabrication world. What, Dave, what What's your average age, would you say, in background of a person who comes in to your shop and wants to have their car built? Because you were talking some coin here, and also we're talking vintage.
We're talking probably 50 to 74, 75.
Yeah, 74, 75.
So how do you see, I mean, you're, are you planning to, do you have any family members that are working with you? Are you passing, when you decide that I'm done with this, will you be selling it or a family member, child?
Okay. They'll carry me out of here.
Okay.
Just dig a hole in the floor.
As they should.
And I'm 72 now, and I don't plan on going anywhere, so.
Okay. Yeah. I love it.
And why would
help,
you?
My help is 70, so.
Oh, the kid is 70?
My help is, yeah.
The youngster is 70. I like it.
Well, yeah. And so where do you, is it just pretty much all word of mouth that people have found out about you and that kind of thing?
Yeah, kind of like what you did, run into me. They see my car and they see the quality of the work that we do, and then they, you know, we have pretty much an open shop. We always tell people stop by anytime you want, see what we're working on. We have people sometimes that stop by every 2 weeks just to see what's here, because like any specialty shop, it looks like a car show half the time.
Yeah, well, and a lot of people, you know, who go to shops like that. I mean, it's kind of one of my cheap entertainments. I mean, I'll stop by somebody's shop just to see what they're into.
Yep.
And, you know, you end up making friends that way, but you also end up finding, oh, this guy does that. And I've been kind of thinking about getting that done, so maybe I should talk to him. You know, I mean, you generate business from stuff
like
that.
I have bullshit built into my day.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
Well, and guy, Lord knows I've spent enough time up there rattling your cage. But then you do work for me, too, so it's okay.
So Anacortes, do you get anybody coming down from Bellingham, or how far out do you?
I've got one scheduled in November from Bellingham. One car I have right here now is from Woodinville. One is from West Seattle.
That's a pretty good spread. Langley. That's darn near 100 miles by the time you get done with it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've had cars come farther than that.
Yeah.
But and I help out the Canadians every once in a while.
Oh, yeah.
The Canadians are some of our best friends.
And major Corvette clubs, and then we have another club up here that we formed called the Pharaohs. We have no officers, no dues, and no meetings, but we have 58 members because that's the way people like it.
Are you? Is that a part of the Pharaohs Club International?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. We spell it different.
Oh, okay.
We're the Pharaohs of Anacortes. So,
got it.
But and we do car shows up here. The Corvette Club does two car shows a year up here. At the end of May, 1st of June, and we'll have 200 or 300 cars and raise money for charities.
You bet.
And I've been doing car shows for 35 years.
We need so when's your first one?
I'd have to look at the calendar, but it's the first weekend in June at the Waterfront Festival.
All right.
There is a car show. We do Corvettes on Saturday, all Corvettes. We had 130 Corvettes this year, and then we have open class show the next day.
We're going to make sure that we get
a
listing of your show. Have you got them on your website, your Facebook page or something, or on the shop page?
Yeah, they do. They got them on Majestic Glass Corvette Club website.
Okay. We'll link to that on the show so that people can see it, because that's kind of fun to do.
Sure. Yep.
That would be great, because we're always looking for new or things that we haven't found in this area. Because, as you know, there's only 100 car shows to choose from in the
any given weekend.
Yeah.
So what? Everybody, I think, that works on cars or has any kind of mechanical ability, there's some kind of holy grail. Like, if only I'd really like to do one of these, or I'd really like to work on one of those. Have you got one that you haven't done yet that you're really kind of hoping to do at some point?
I think I've done it.
Please don't tell me.
The one I got is pretty well, you know. The thing about it is I've built the car. You know, I've driven it 19,000 miles. It's like it's part of me, you know.
Oh, sure.
When you spend that much time on a vehicle and that much blood and money, you know, money becomes mute in the whole thing.
Because
whatever it needs, it gets.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the way with a lot of these cars. You know, people, they build cars for different reasons. You know, it might be a family car. It might be the car they've always wanted when they were in high school, and now they're retired and they got a big bank account, and they go, I always wanted one of these. And, you know, and it's just, But there's probably one more in the back of my head I wouldn't mind building, but I don't have the time because I'm working on everybody else's now.
Yeah. Well, we had a couple of people who, you know, literally cashed in a 401k to have the car that they wanted, you know, and it was time to do that. Yep. So, hey, you do what you do. I'm going to ask you this. I will not make you answer it, but back in the day, everybody knows the 63 split window, you know, the Stingray was the grail for a long time, and, you know, they're priceless, one year only, and all that good stuff.
I had one.
Yeah, well, I mean, everybody that's a Corvette guy, you know, either wants one or had one, but... Mm-hmm. In 64 and 65, and I was there for this, so I'm ashamed to say it, but I didn't do it. There were people who actually wanted the open window and took their 63s and cut the post out.
Yeah, they did.
I always thought that was just a horrible thing to do, especially for a one-off year, you know. But did anybody ever come and ask you to do that?
There was a reason for that, because you couldn't see
anything
out the back window.
Of course. Well, the Volkswagens, the original Volkswagens had the same problem. Anything with a split, But later on...
I had one to top that. I took the roof on a 63 and cut a 3x3 removable section out of the roof of a 63 coupe one time that would go into the back of the car.
Oh, for like a sunroof?
Yeah, it was a big one.
Yeah, 3x3. Yeah, that's just about the whole roof.
And it was unfastened and go in the back. But then, you know, back then the car was only worth $1,100.
That's right. Yeah, you could, and it was fiberglass, and you figured, well, I could always put it back.
Why bother?
Stuff that people did. I know.
Yeah.
Well, that's what makes
I love the flared cars with the big tires.
Yep.
The big
stuff,
fender flares.
Side pipes. You nothing put the like a side pipe car.
Oh yeah, you put the whale tails on there.
I didn't have any problems. Selling a 63 Corvette for $800.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So. Yeah, 63 Corvette for $800. Well, that was where the days. You know, you could do that.
I paid $80 for it when I bought it.
Yeah.
Well, and a lot of those, the engines weren't even original. They were just people had blown them, and they had played with them many, many times. By the time you got to them. Yep. It was a ratty car, like anything else, and you had fun with it. You did what you did, and
you look at
some of them now, and you see all the boat weave patching on the fenders and stuff through the paint, and you go, "Oh yeah,
yeah.
I wonder what telephone pole this one hit."
Yeah,
you know,
that's
I mean,
right.
They have stories. They really do.
Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah, this one, this looks like it's got some camber on it. Oh, it's not that. I see. It's when they rolled over a couple of parking.
Yeah.
Well, you know, so we got a couple more minutes here with you, Dave.
Sure.
So do you just take your hot rod, go to the car shows? Do any of your clients take their shows, the cars you built for them, and show them at various car shows?
They do. A lot of them have done very well.
Very good.
Sometimes people will go, aren't you upset that car beat you? And I go, why? I built it.
Yeah. Why? What's not to like?
Wow.
It's your car in a way anyway.
Well, and I would think that probably one of your pride and joys is the fact that with anybody who's a fabrication person is you get to see your finished work out on the street.
Yeah.
And you know that the person's grinning from ear to ear. And they're just enjoying the dickens out of it. Unlike, you know, I mean, people enjoy pieces of art and stuff like that. They're in their room, in their house or something. Yeah. But something about a car rolling down the road is, man, that's just something else. So,
what's artwork everybody can share?
Yeah, every time I see one of
my cars. 50 miles, 50 smiles.
There you go.
That's exactly right. So, Dave, do you have a website, per se, or a way of people to contact you?
No, I don't. I'm just I just do by phone. If I had a website, I'd be on it all the time answering questions. So, if they want to call, they're more than welcome. I'm on Google and all that. My phone number there. And,
right, but we're gonna
I have a lot of bootleg websites. You know, my customers, people go, oh, I saw your website. And I go, I don't have a website.
Well, we've got your business card up on our site right now, and we're going to, you know, post that and make sure that everybody sees it. And of course, the link to the show will be showing up tomorrow night, and people will know that as well. So not that you need the business, because, you know, you... I'm sure you're doing just fine, but we'll see if we can get you some help.
We keep pretty busy, but you know, we always like to. I like to help people out. You know, if they've got a problem and don't know where to go or what to do, you know, I try to help out as many people as I can.
Well, that's great, Dave. Well, thank you so much for being on our show. We appreciate it, and we'll make sure that everybody knows all about you. And You're listening to the greatest automotive information world in the known, well, information
in the known
show in the known world. In a cool hot rod story you can tell your story, your friends about. So stick with us. We'll be right back.
Listen, as a hiring manager, I've got to tell you, the best job candidate isn't always the typical candidate. Sometimes they're a grad of life.
Meet the grads of life. Young adults of unique determination and experience. An ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
Sometimes the best candidates aren't the ones you're used to.
Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent.
Stick around. We'll be back after these words.
Hey, car enthusiast, are you in need of a restoration and fabrication shop that turns old steel into rolling works of art? Then look no further than E-Company Customs Hot Rods and Restorations. E-Company Customs, that's Customs with a K, is the Northwest's fastest-growing restoration and fabrication shop, providing frame-off restoration, custom mods, upholstery, rust repair, hand-done metalwork, motor work, body and paint, and a whole lot more. To book an appointment, visit them at ecompanycustoms.com or stop by their shop at 15002 Suite A, Highway 99, Linwood, Washington. E-Company Customs, providing a stress-free experience to both new and returning customers.
This is Cody with Bow Wow Air-Cooled. You're listening to Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter. A lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
That's just one adoption story that started at a shelter. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you.
When it comes to saving money, don't act like a baby.
Goo goo gaga.
Be the boss and make a budget.
I'm the boss, baby.
You're the boss of me.
I am the boss of you.
Are not.
M2.
Are not.
M2.
Need a little help?
Aren't you going to do any work?
I'm very busy delegating.
Create a personalized savings plan.
We can share.
You obviously didn't go to business school.
And get other tools and tips at feedthepig.org.
It's time for Garage Confidential. You what? Okay.
Steve is making off-color Italian hand gestures at Shane, and we have no idea what he's meaning. But
we have a story this week, and I'm confused.
We do.
Brady.
Yes, it's a great story. Wow. What were those hand gestures? I don't know.
I don't know. I don't have a
going
flag.
Going through your semaphore merit badge for Boy Scouts.
When you start a race, you have the checkered flag, right? I need to get one.
Except you have no flag. You're just waving your arms around.
I was pretending I
had.
Thought you were having some sort of seizure or something.
That got me going. I was thinking I was spitting gasoline. I was thinking it was a...
Okay. Would it be in Steve's head?
Yes. No, maybe not.
I'm going to get a flag. And so to start everybody, I'll be like, that'll be great when
I'm not
the
sure this was about the flag. I'm not sure what this was about. So this is a good one.
Anyway.
Well, that was like my outro. I'm like going, he's starting to talk, and I'm like, blah, 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 blah. So Brady looks at me whenever I mess up.
I have no idea what that was. So this, all right,
yes.
So we, as many of you know who listen to the show regularly, we are actually headquartered in the Pacific Northwest. We're not too far from Seattle. And there are places in every region of the country that are like kind of holy grail sort of places. Maybe it's an old amusement park. Maybe it's an old racetrack. Maybe it's a place where, you know, people used to hang out, or a particular cruising spot or something like that. Everybody has one. And it's the source usually and site for a lot of goofiness and hijinks and stuff. Around our neck of the woods, years ago, and I'm talking 50 years ago, there was a place called the Aurora Speedway. And Aurora Speedway was in the north end of Seattle, actually outside the city limits, although today it would be in the city limits because the city's expanded.
It was
an amazing place. It was right next to another landmark spot called the Playland Amusement Park, which back in the 50s and 60s was the stuff. I mean, it was a small version of Disneyland North in our community. And the Speedway was literally an old school Speedway, you know, oval track with, dirt track racing and stuff like that. So Steve Walker, who's one of our friends of the show, contributed this story to the old Car Nut book, Book One, and it's called Aurora Speedway, and it goes like this. On weekends, Dad would pack Mom, my older brother, Bill Jr., and myself into the Ford and drive us all to the Aurora Speedway to watch the midgets races. Just north was Playland Amusement Park with the carousel and the roller coaster rides that Bill and I might have enjoyed, but we never knew it was there. Dad was careful about that. There wasn't going to be any debates on where we were going. The racing was spectacular. We sat on sagging, splinter-infested speedway bleachers. We ate salted peanuts, cracking the shells open and letting the remains fall through the bleachers. The air filled with the crackling and snarling sounds of the furious Offenhauser engines and the intoxicating aroma of burnt fuel and hot oil. The roaring cars would slide into the turns in thick clusters, belching flames and bunching together before squirting out of the turn, separating briefly in the short straights, and then bunching together again in the next turn. You know, Steve has a way with words.
He could have been an announcer.
Yeah. Lap after lap, they stormed around the track, whipping up a great whirlwind of dust and wrappers that buffeted the crowds in the stands. The racing was close, and the drivers were impossibly brave. There was no safety barriers and stuff back in those days. You know, if somebody lost it, they drove right into the stands and killed thousands of people, but they didn't. They would tangle wheels, and they would tumble or push each other through the plywood fence. The red or yellow flags would come out while the debris was sorted and cleared from the track. Wailing ambulances sped away, and then the race would go on until at last there was a victor, or till nobody was left. At the conclusion of the races, we'd cross the track and wander through the greasy infield pits. The lushly painted cars are still boiling hot, emitting clicks and drips and chirps as they cooled. A rainbow of colors tinted the gleaming chrome exhaust pipes and the dirt where oil and other fuels had leaked into the testifying to the heat that they had endured. Now, Dad knew some of the racers, and we'd stop and visit, seeing their perfect gem-like cars proudly nestled in the only clear space in the middle of a tiny garage packed with tool-cluttered workbenches and shelving. I learned how exhausts were tuned in the 50s. An engine would be run up to temperature, and the pipes marked for cutting where they stopped changing color. Or how welds were checked on a frame, hanging it from a rope and striking it with a mallet.
Wow.
Yep, didn't break. Must be okay. Shane has got this look on his face like, okay, I get that. If it rang true, like a bell, then the welds were good. Small secrets were revealed. If square gear keys separated under the enormous torque, they could be replaced with lathe tool bits. Hardened steel. Okay, all right. An aluminum cigar tube with a nut for ballast would become a hydrometer, scribed to indicate mixture density when it floated in a soup can of fuel. This is scary, but they actually used to do this stuff.
Shane's going, I want to check this
stuff
out. He's
like, wait, that actually would work.
Yes, it would.
Dad was hooked. He wanted to go racing, but Mom would have none of it. None of it. She would have none of it. We had seen too many crashes and too many ambulances carrying drivers away from the track. With two small boys to raise, Dad was not going to be allowed to do anything quite so dangerous. So he bought a set of plans from Ted Jones, and we built a 7-liter hydroplane instead.
Yeah.
And ran it at Green Lake?
Well, you know, they never ran the 7-liters at Green Lake. For those of you who are listening, Green Lake is the largest
pond,
non-man-made lake wholly inside a city limits,
right,
in the country. It is huge. It's almost 4 miles around. Yeah. And again, non-man-made. People make, you know, Central Park has a bigger lake, but it's man-made. And so they used to race boats on Green Lake. They, yes, did race hydroplanes, but they were 225s. Those were the biggest ones they ever put on there.
Well, okay, so you're saying the one that he had was...
It was a 7-liter. It's the class, 7-liter, okay, is the class right below the Unlimiteds.
Sheesh.
Yeah, so that's not Green Lake. Green Lake wasn't big enough. But I bet you they raced it on Lake Chelan, probably raced it on Lake Washington and, yep, some other places.
Yeah.
You'd be insane to put a hydroplane on Puget Sound, but I suppose, you know, if you really felt like you wanted to, but yeah, 7-liter. Those,
wow,
are big. So that's 427s. That's, you know, big.
Yeah, his wife let him get away with that, but not the sprint car one.
See, back in the day, you could get, like, Popular Science magazine or Popular Mechanics. You could buy plans for darn near anything.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
And you could get a hydroplane plan. Ted Jones, of course, was one of the original hydroplane racers. He sold plans. You could build a wooden, flat hull boat and if you
Well, they had the little minis, like you were saying. You could just get
the
little
cracker
plans
boxes.
And order them up. Hey, I wanted to just give a big shout out. We've got a few people that have been sending us nice things. First is Brian at Garage Asylum is following us now, and thanks,
nice.
Brian.
Hi, Brian.
And then we got Brian Spiker, and he's another guy that has been following us. Thank you, Brian.
Nice.
And then we got Nathan Lips Lip Lip
Lipinski.
Lipinski.
Nathan Lipinski.
Sure, just butcher his name.
Yeah, Lipinski.
Nathan has won our trivia contest.
Oh, and he's a good guy, big fan. We really appreciate it. He says, great show, guys. You guys are put on one heck of a show. And, you know, folks, if you listen to us, we really appreciate hearing from you.
Sure. You can like our page. You can follow our Facebook
page.
Right. You can,
you know, because it always makes us feel good to know that, you know, one more person's listening.
We can send our money.
Steps behind us to the grocery store.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, you never know. We're going to be putting on some local car shows here in the
well,
we're
working
distant,
on that.
We're working on
next
it.
Next season, we got some big plans for some events,
yes,
and
we
some
do.
Show and shines, and we'll tell you that as we get a little closer. But yeah, with this, we're blowing up. That's what the kids say. We're blowing
we're
up.
We're blowing it up.
We're blowing it up.
We're blowing it up.
You got gasoline?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you got plenty of that.
Well, I got starter fluid.
Well, there you go.
Hey, you know what an alternative use for starter fluid is?
Besides putting tires on?
That works good for that.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm just going to say this.
Okay.
Not that I have any personal in experience with this, of course, but if you have a potato cannon laying around, it works a lot better than Aquanet.
Oh, yes. Way better. More boom for the buck.
Yeah, okay, so you have a potato cannon.
I didn't say that.
We had tennis ball cannons, which was soup cans
with a pop can
and throw a little gasoline and then whirl it around, drop that thing in there and hit the bottom.
No. No, we prefer our amputation machines to be a little farther from our head.
Oh, no, this is, we would set it down on the ground.
We just pipe it.
Lighter
the end of it.
PVC pipe and a Coleman lantern lighter. Yeah.
We got.
Not that I've personally ever.
We had a lot of fun. That was Nelson Brothers that were doing that kind of stuff, so.
How does this relate to cars? I'm sure it does.
Well, it's explosive.
We've all blown stuff up.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, there's not a real big difference between them.
No.
Well, stay right here, and we'll be back with a trivia question, I'm sure, after these messages.
You're into cars, you love a good time, and you'd rather build it than buy it. You might just love the Rat Bastards. The Rat Bastards Car Club is a family-oriented, non-profit organization. We believe in 1969 and older, in the rough is enough, real steel and iron, old-school, traditional hot rods and rat rods. We get together, have fun, help each other, and love to drive them. Your build is our build, because that's the way car clubs are supposed to be. The Rat Bastards are a new class of old school, and our signature event is the Infestation every July. Find us at a cruise in all over the Puget Sound and on the Rat Bastards Car Club page on Facebook.
Hang on till right after these messages.
Hey y'all, I'm Blake Shelton. I love that country music connects people all over this great nation, but unfortunately so does something else, childhood hunger. 15 million children struggle with hunger in America. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks works to rescue our surplus food to help provide billions of meals to families in need across the country. Join the fight against hunger at feedingamerica.org. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
In 95, I helped tow your trailer. And in 09, it was sparks from me, your chains, dragging behind your truck that accidentally started a wildfire.
Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
This is Donnie Smith. You've been listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. Enjoy yourself.
Did you hear the news? Cartoons Magazine is back. Yep, those car-crazy comics from the past have returned in an all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine filled with one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available directly through the Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com.
Help us if you can, you're an El Camino, El Camino man, only.
So before the break, we were talking about potato cannons. No, wait, that's a different show. Welcome back. This is Around the Wheel. This is where we do the upcoming events and weekly trivia question and stuff. And by the way, we did have a winner from last week. Our question from last week was really, really an easy one, except it kind of wasn't. It depends on your age, I guess, in some things. Dave Ozuna was Johnny on the spot with a Facebook message. The question was, Henry Ford was most famous for what? And there actually were a lot of things that Henry
Ford assembly line.
Well, the assembly line was one of them, and that actually was the answer. Dave knew it. But he was also famous for the 40-hour work week and,
making it so his employees could actually buy a car.
Yeah, yeah. He did a lot of pretty innovative things. But the one that the trivia question writer was up for was the automated assembly line. So Dave gets the official poster of the Horsepower Chrome and Rust Barn Find Dust can for this week, and we'll be putting that up on the website. So way to go, Dave. Thanks a lot. Now, I have another trivia question for next week. Steve has a question, though, that he wants to toss in, and I think that he should. What is your question, sir?
Well, what vehicle has been named after a town?
And it's not the only one, by the way. So what do we think?
So you guys will have to send it in.
Oh, you want this to actually be the weekly question?
I want this to be a weekly question.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
Well, you see, if you're going to do that to me, you got to tell me ahead of time because I scripted the other one.
Well, you can do that. Well, so how about if we have a twofer?
We can have a twofer.
A twofer?
There's no reason.
Everybody would like that.
It's our show. We can do whatever we want.
I think so, Brady.
All right, so here it is. We're going to do two questions. Two trivia questions.
Yes.
Two, count them, two buckets of Horsepower Chrome and Rust Barn Find Dust. You could have two Barn Find cars worth 10 times what they normally would be if you sprinkle this dust all over them. So here's Steve's question is, some vehicle manufactured in the world has been named after a town. It's not the only one, by the way. But if you come up with the one Steve is thinking of somewhere in the depths of his brain,
I don't need to give any more hints.
No.
Great.
No, you're fine. That's a good one.
All right.
Or question B is, and nobody will get this. This is going to be, they're going to be dialing Google as soon as I say this. Question B is, every Saab with GM Tech 2 as part of its process and electronics came with a video game.
What?
Yeah. You have to tell me what the game was. Nobody.
Wow.
I dug down for this one.
I do.
Sean knows. Shane knows, of course, because...
I've played it.
Is that because you...
Why is it that I'm not surprised? Why is it that I'm not surprised at this? So yeah, if you know what video game came with every Saab with GM Tech 2, that's the key to the thing. If you know that particular piece of software is in there,
so I've been waiting all year. You know what this weekend is?
Oh, this weekend?
This weekend we get all gear bird fight dust.
Yeah,
so it's early Ford swap meet out in Monroe.
That is right. It is a 3-day event, Friday, yes. Saturday, Sunday at the Monroe Fairgrounds in Monroe, Washington.
I wait for it every year.
Yep, it's the end of season swap meet. It's a huge one, and it's put on by a car club in Anacortes. Anacortes?
Headquarters to Bellingham.
The Pushrods, I think.
Yes,
the guys.
No, Bellingham, I believe.
Yeah, those are the guys, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, good one. And it, by the way, this weekend swap meet is also going to be the site of a very big event.
Yes,
the Rat Bastards Car Club has been donated. They got donated a 1950 Hudson pacemaker.
It's a nice looking car.
It's not bad. I mean, it's rough. It needs some
work.
It's
a rat rod.
But everything is there. I mean, the thing is, even the vacuum mechanical windshield wipers are there and they work.
Yes.
The thing lights up. It doesn't. I don't know if it starts, but it fire. I mean, the key turns on. The lights.
Are they
going to
be showing it there?
No,
they're going to be raffling it off.
Giving it
Ooh.
Away.
It's the ticket drawing is Sunday at about 4:00.
Yes.
And so yeah, I mean, if you're interested, that's a thing. Check out the Rat Bastards Car Club page, and they will know. Thank you for being part of our show this weekend. Over a million listeners joined you. Glad that Dave Overton from Corvette Alley stopped by. For Shane Osborne and Steve Johann, I'm Brady Wright, saying keep your eyes on the road, your hands on the wheel, your foot to the floor, and your face to the windshield. Next week, we light the tires on another Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
Till next time.